Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kojo Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My conversation today is with Derek Houston, an industry veteran and founder of Houston Travels Marketing Services. He tells me progress in the vaccination program is one of the surest ways of getting back to some sense of normality. Derek believes the engagement with clients through technology and other media platforms will get the business events adequately prepared to restart the sector.
So, good morning and welcome to the Tourism Podcast. And I am privileged to be joined by Derek Houston. He's the lead or the founder and the MD for hosting travel marketing services. And I think he would introduce himself as well. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Kojo. Yeah, nice to be talking to you so far away in Accra.
And how are you in keeping? Of course, in over 1 year, last time we met was in Meetings Africa in 2020. In fact, that was a major event that happened. That was all event, the last event that happened.
Yeah. I know. It's been awful. I'm used to going to an exhibition or workshop literally two or three times a month, year round. So I'm missing out on Indaba and World Travel Market Africa and all these shows, IBTM. So, hopefully by the end of the year, we can get back to live meetings again and we can all enjoy each other's company, free of masks and stuff.
Exactly. No, that's fine. That's all we're all hoping for. Now, let's start. What's your, what do you say will be your overview of the sector now, either starting from South Africa and Africa in general, with respect to business events?
I think everyone's just waiting for the third wave of COVID-19 to pass. Here in South Africa, we're right in the middle of it, and we have quite strict lockdown regulations. And I know in East Africa, there have been increases and, the whole of Africa is virtually on the red list for travel to the USA and to Europe and to UK. So it's very frustrating for the industry because that is inhibiting the number of tourists coming into Africa. So the industry is still struggling, and I think that it's going to be another 6 months or so before we really see some light on the horizon. We just don't know. I think everyone is really getting, all the governments are really getting into the vaccination program, and I think that's the will save the tourism industry if we have enough vaccinations in each country. I've just had my second Pfizer jab, so I'm pleased about that. And it's been rolled out pretty well in most countries. And I think Ghana, it's the vaccination program, how's that going?
No, that's also going well. I think that we've had over a little over a million, and of the vaccination rollout. But again, there's a lot that have need to be done. But and a lot of that. But even before we go to the vaccination, look, we've again after the first wave and if you like the second wave, and there was some form of a restart. You know, the conversation around social events that is put together and say, social events, gathering, etc. Do you get disturbed and get worried that we as a business event or MICE, we tend to be lumped together, you know, and the knock-on effects is the fact that all restrictions, etc., then now affect the sector that can also start in a certain way? Because it brings me to my next question that I was going to say that is it again sustainable to the extent that if we have, for example, 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 wave, we're going to still lock down?
Yeah, when hopefully we don't go into multiple waves, but I think if there is a big vaccination program, that will stop it. But yeah, the mice industry and the events are severely restricted these days with by governments, and you can see lots of conferences and exhibitions are being cancelled or postponed. But in Europe, the situation looks a bit better, and in the UK. I know from our point of view, I represent IBTM World in Barcelona, and that's definitely going to be a live show this year, at the end of November. And we also have a hybrid version, a virtual one as well for those people who can't actually get to Barcelona. So some of the meetings, events are actually opening up in Europe, which is good news, I think, for the mice industry.
But my just to place again emphasis on it, do you think that we often tend to just put mice or business events in the category of, if you like to say, social events? Because if we also look at the data and the statistics and behavioral patterns, there's the fact that in our event space, there's always some controls and checks and balances. So my point is that shouldn't be be worried about the fact that we keep on being put in this category, and in the overall effect, we tend to suffer unfairly?
Yes, certainly. I think we lump together with concerts and big sporting matches and all that sort of thing. The business tourism industry, the mice industry, has really got very good checks and balances and masking. And I know some of the events, they are actually testing people before they come in, with the rapid tests a couple of hours before they come in. So I think that's the way to go. Sure, the smaller meetings, 100, 150, 200, they could really be open because they do have the strict protocols.
Okay. Now, before the pandemic, or pre-COVID, we saw how, if you like, mice and business events was kind of a taking wave in the Africa region. What was your projection of, because you've been doing this for decades, and with a world of experience, how can you project that side of tourism for the region? And do you think that it's a sector that can help us in the tourism restart in general?
Certainly it can. I think the conference and big convention business into Africa and exhibitions from overseas pre-COVID was really booming. It was taking off, and especially in South Africa, Rwanda, Kenya, and all the major countries now have convention bureaus to promote the mice sector specifically. So that was very good, and they are now quietly sort of doing their thing and getting organized for post-COVID. But I think it's where tourism can restart. I certainly think there's a pent-up demand for incentive groups out of Europe, the USA, and the conference business. I think conventions have been postponed. I think they will probably only come around later in 2022. I can't see them happening this year.
Okay. Now, if you were to advise an emerging, a conference destination like Ghana and other African countries. What would it be your advice to them in terms of trying to take advantage of where we are now to reach that sector?
Yeah, I think the industries in many African countries have to get themselves organized into a convention bureau where they have specific budgets for mice promotion. And usually it's all mixed up with the General Tourist Board budget. And so they don't have any budgets to go out to the specific mice shows like IBTM, or do any real promotion to incentive people, conference organizers in Europe. And there are lots of smaller exhibitions that they could be going to, but they need to be under one roof, as it were. They need to be all part of the Convention Bureau. So in Rwanda and South Africa, the South African Convention Bureau and the Rwanda Convention Bureau are very strong, you know, in promotion and getting their story out to the world. And all the cities as well have convention bureaus. So, and they are actively looking for leads for conferences. And I think they should also become part of ICA, the International Convention and Conference Association, because that's a very good way of finding big conferences and meetings where they're going to be held around the world. So yeah, we've got Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania is just starting a convention bureau, Zimbabwe, but I think for the smaller countries in Africa, they need to start their convention bureaus and specific mice promotions to restart the whole tourism, because the conference attendee spends a lot of money in each country, far more than a leisure tourist. So it's certainly a sector that everyone is keen to get on with, and all the new hotels I think in West Africa have fantastic conference facilities. They can host 500,000 delegates for a conference.
Okay, now I mean, like I said earlier, you've been organizing the Spotlight exhibition, and that's a form of a very special, B2B, and at a point B2C, but last year you couldn't organize it, and this year you're having it virtual. Can you tell us more about this year's event? I mean, in fact, next week or something, I think so.
Yeah, certainly. Unfortunately, I had to cancel, postpone and postpone again all my live shows that we do around the continent. The only one we had was in Arusha in February, which was great fun, and it was really, really good to meet everyone face to face. So we started the virtual workshop, virtual travel expo. So to just keep the pot boiling, as it were, so people can still meet, on Zoom type meetings with buyers. And from the African perspective of countries and products and hotels, we can, if you have a workshop, say in Nairobi, you're just meeting Nairobi-based travel agents and tour operators. But with a Spotlight virtual, we're also bringing in buyers from overseas. So we have over 130 buyers already registered for our workshop on July the 28th and 29th, and about half of them are from overseas countries, all over the world, Philippines, Italy, Iran, Mexico, places like that. So we have good databases and good contacts in all these places. So it's a way of really making sure that people are kept up to date. Sometimes the bookings resulting are probably a bit slow because people aren't sending any tourists out of Europe or sending very few. So, but it's very important, I think, to keep in contact and communication and networking with your clients overseas or in Africa. And I think that the African interregional market, business and leisure market, intra-Africa, between West Africa and East Africa, East Africa, South Africa, etc., will be the first to get back on its feet. And we can already see that lots of South Africans are traveling up into East Africa and back doing business, you know, in various countries. So that is good. So we've got a nice range of travel agents and tour operators from Africa, you know, joining in Spotlight Virtual. We have now 45 exhibitors from Africa, from Zanzibar, Maldives, Indian Ocean, Mauritius, Kenya, Zimbabwe, South Africa, for buyers. So your listeners or readers in Ghana and West Africa are very welcome to actually join as buyers, or if there are hotels or beach resorts or inbound tour operators who want to sell their services to our buyers, they can still have time to register as an exhibitor. The cost of a booth is $255, so it's fairly reasonable.
Okay, no, that's amazing. Giving us more information on that, and we will share it on all our platforms. Now, as we wrap up the conversation, you've had an illustrious career, you know, in the marketing and tourism business events sectors, and if you may want to tell us your journey into this field and how things have been right day one to now, and still, you know.
Okay.
Moving on with it.
Well, that's 56 years, so it might take another 20 minutes. I started off 56 years ago in 1965, and I started work for the South African Tourism Corporation as a filing clerk. And then I progressed and I went to live, worked in Harare. And then I worked in Johannesburg for tour operators and travel agents, and also spent 3 or 4 years overseas in London working for tour operators there, which was very, very interesting. And I came back to South Africa in the early 70s and worked for outbound tour operators and travel agencies. And then in 1984, I started Houston Travel Marketing Services as my first account was a travel magazine where I sold advertising, and we've moved on to doing distribution of airline timetables, and then we started Spotlight in the year 2000. So we've been doing that for 21 years, and we've done these workshops all over Africa and in the Nordic countries, Eastern Europe, Poland. And we hope to be doing one in Tel Aviv in Israel. It was scheduled for 2019, and hopefully we'll be there in March 2022. So, but it's really to try and get the travel industry together, communicating, networking, and give them a professional platform to meet with hotels and resorts and tour operators to promote themselves and get more business. And hopefully it's worked pretty well, you know.
No, that's really an accomplished one and exciting career. Now, what keeps you going? What keeps you going, I mean, 56 years ago, and you're still in this business?
I think it's just the excitement of the tourism industry and the potential of getting people together and making them get business, and the people in the tourism industry all over Africa are just such wonderful people. And, you know, it's great to be able to help them and to get them to meet people. And I'm still young and fit.
Now, yes, before we go again, what would be your advice to our sector as we all prepare, hoping that the third wave will be over? But again, we can't still wait for things to be over before we start. So in terms of preparation, in terms of outlook, and in terms of projections, what will be your advice in 1 minute?
Yeah, I think people should really get prepared. They should keep on talking to all their clients in Africa and overseas, try and find new clients, use social media, as though it's going to happen shortly, you know, because if they're staying at home and sleeping and not doing anything, then they must keep going and really try and find new business, look for new opportunities in Africa or Eastern Europe or other places than, you know, the more traditional places. And, you know, eventually the business will come back. I know it's been very difficult for people because they just had no cash flow for a year or more. My advice is get motivated, stay safe, and get out there and meet people, either virtually or by.
No, definitely. We will go out there, you know, and meet people. Thank you so much for your time and you know, making the time to speak to us on the podcast. And, you know, we hope to be on the show next week. And then you can always count on the support of Voyage Africa.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much indeed.